The Keeper Who Does Not Keep Sin. Psalm 130 is a song of ascents, likely sung by pilgrims going up to Jerusalem. Later Jewish tradition linked these 15 psalms with the temple steps. Yet this ascent begins in the opposite direction, out of the depths. That is the first surprise. The way up to God starts by going down into truth. In the Old Testament, the depths are not only feelings. They are the imagery of chaos, drowning, Jonah's prison, the edge of death itself. The Hebrew word is plural, depths, as if sorrow and guilt come in layers. A Western reader may hear private emotion. Israel heard something closer to uncreation. This singer is not merely discouraged. He is beneath himself. Then comes one of the most searching lines in Scripture. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? The verb kept is the Hebrew shema, to watch, guard, keep. That same root returns in verse 6. The watchmen waiting for the morning are shomerim. This is a profound link. If God watched our sins the way a guard watches a city wall, no one could stand, neither in judgment nor in worship. But Scripture says something better. The God who keeps Israel in Psalm 121 does not keep the penitent's sins as a stored accusation. His vigilance is turned toward preserving his people, not preserving their guilt. That is grace in its Old Testament brightness. And then, the great paradox. There is forgiveness with you, therefore you are feared. We would have written, there is forgiveness with you, therefore you are loved, or therefore you are approached. But the psalm says, feared. Why? Because judgment may make us flinch, but mercy makes us kneel. Terror can produce avoidance. Forgiveness produces awe. Augustine saw this clearly. Pardon does not make God less holy. It reveals a holiness so deep that it can cleanse without ceasing to be just. The doubled line about watchmen is also beautiful poetry. More than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. It sounds like pacing on a wall. Morning for an ancient guard was not romantic sunlight. It meant the attack had not come. It meant survival. So the psalmist's waiting is not vague spirituality. He clings to dawn as a man clings to life, and he waits not in wishful thinking, but in his word. The psalm ends by widening from I to Israel. That matters. Our deepest problem is never only what has been done to us, but what sin has done in us. Israel's worst exile was not finally Babylon or Rome, but iniquity. So the promise reaches its full height. God will redeem his people from all their sins. Christians rightly hear here the horizon of Matthew 1:21 and Romans 3:23-26. Suggested cross-references, Jonah 2:1-6, Psalm 121, 3:8, Lamentations 3:25-26, Romans 3:19-26, Matthew 1:21. Prayer, Lord, bring me into the truth of my depths without leaving me there. Teach me the holy fear that mercy creates. Fasten my hope to your word while I wait for morning and redeem your people from all our sins through Jesus Christ. Amen. Hymn suggestion. From depths of woe I cry to thee. Martin Luther's paraphrase of Psalm 130.